Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
And I'm the Fat Man.
Coming at you semi-live today, talking about sports ball.
And this may be the last... last recording we do, because we may die tomorrow.
We may die tomorrow.
Due to a hurricane.
That's right. We happen to be in Miami right now with a hurricane / tropical storm making its way up and into the west coast of Florida. Which, if you know about Florida, you know Miami is not on the west coast. But we are supposed to get on a boat tomorrow and then sail away. So we can make it out in time before the storm comes into the area. That would be good. Otherwise, I'll be heavily Dramamined. And, well, we purchased the drink package, folks. So that's the other reason we may not come back. This may be the last known recording of us. Hopefully not, but you never know. But
you never know.
Let's talk.
Sports ball.
Where do you want to start, Fat Man?
Well, I guess we'll start with the happiest of places, with college football.
I mean, okay.
I mean, relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking, yes. As I mean, you're all aware, our team is Texas A&M University.
Yep.
Part of the Southeast Conference, or SEC, where it just means more.
Exactly. SEC. SEC.
Where it just means more money. That's primarily what it means more of, is money. So, as we spoke many, many times during your other sports ball podcasts, this is a unique college season in that there has been a massive reorganization. The SEC has come out of this looking like basically the Premier League. So kind of the top of the food chain, more or less, as far as the college football leagues go. So you have the what they're commonly referring to as the Power Four now, used to be the Power Five, but with the dissolution of the Pac-12, they've now dropped down to four. So you have the SEC, the Big Ten, which has 16 teams, the Big 12, which has 18 teams, and the ACC, the Atlantic Coastal Conference, which is now coast to coast. So the Southeast Conference is slowly going west as well, with Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Texas picked up a lot of west in that frame. The Big Ten is literally coast to coast with both schools that are on the Atlantic Ocean and on the Pacific Ocean now playing each other in order to get out of what was a terrible deal the Pac-12 had made with the various TV stations to display their games. Basically, the Pac-12 owned the night. So any game that aired after like 9 or 10 p.m. was all Pac-12, but that meant the rest of the country went to bed. Let's face it. I tried. I really did last year. I tried to stay up. Started at 11 o'clock watching games. Stayed up all the way till like 10:30, 11 o'clock watching games. It was a Colorado State game. You know, this was the first year of Coach Prime. He had won like three games. There was a lot of buzz. You know, it was a really good game. I still went to bed at halftime. Because it's just too late.
You're talking about last year, because he was coach last year.
He was coach last year, yeah. I'm not talking about this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the Colorado State game happened this year already, too. I didn't care.
Right.
Coach Prime turned out to be a dud, folks.
Okay, he couldn't, in fact, turn a turd into polished silver. I mean, okay. Now, when he did that at the last college, what was it, Jackson State?
Yeah.
That was a little different because you weren't in a Division I school, okay? So the bar wasn't set very high there. This is already a Division I school that they were trying to take out of the basement. Okay, and it turned out that he couldn't do it because his name alone couldn't bring the talent that he needed.
Yeah.
And on top of the fact that, I mean, there's a little nepotism going on in there because no one's talked about his son.
Well, yeah, I mean, so he brought his son in as quarterback.
Right.
And he was a decent quarterback, at least for the first four games.
So... Right, but that doesn't cut it in Division I.
No. No, it does not. Is he still their quarterback?
I'd imagine so.
I think he is. So,
like I said, nepotism.
Yeah. So So that's what's going on down there with college football. Like I said, large reorganization that happened. It appears to me the SEC has come out pretty on top with, I think, 6 or 7 of the top 10 teams, and almost every team of theirs ranked. So the other big thing that happens this year is that we go to a 12-game playoff system, which is stupid. We should have just done 16.
Because what is it, like the first 4 teams get a bye?
Right. So the way it works is the conference champions from the Power Four conferences all get in and they get a bye. So they don't play in the first round. The balance, the other 8, come from the top ranked teams that did not win conference championships. Right. So the people who would have gotten in last year would have been, say, Georgia, would have been FSU, would have been several other. Those 2 were the big ones that did get in that probably should have. Georgia would have been the national championship. There's no doubt in my mind. But that is going to open up the conference play pretty wide. And I think, honestly, what you're going to end up with is more or less an SEC-dominated playoff series. I think we're going to get 6 to 8 SEC teams and then the other 3 conference champions. And one other, like, Big Ten team or something.
Yeah, if somebody other than Ohio State makes it out of the Big Ten, I'll be surprised. I mean, don't give me... Well, okay, I'm not going to say that because Oregon. Oregon's a good team.
Oregon's a good team. USC has a chance. UCLA has a chance.
But nobody from the original, or like, you know, the
Michigan has a chance.
Michigan always has a chance, right? But, I mean,
Penn State's ranked number 10 right now, or they were last week. I don't know if they're still ranked.
Yeah, but you know, it's good because I got to tell you, after we performed last week and we actually went up a spot, I don't know if I believe in these ranking systems. Yes, we won, but it was against Bowling Green State.
Yeah.
And it was only by, what, maybe 2 touchdowns?
Yeah, it was something like that.
And we were trying to lose that game.
You really were, folks.
So, not to take us off from the main subject, but I'm just saying, I'm not a fervent believer in the ranking system.
Yeah, so right now, where the ranking stands as of, we're coming into week 4, is Texas is number 1, Georgia is number 2, Ohio State is number 3. Alabama is number 4. Tennessee is number 5. Ole Miss is number 6. Miami is number 7. Oregon's number 8. Penn State's 9. Utah is 10. So out of those top 10, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss are the SEC teams. Outside of that, you've got Missouri, LSU, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M ranked, who are also SEC teams in the top 25. So, you know, Notre Dame is sitting at 16, even though they lost to Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois has dropped off the list. They were on the list after they beat Notre Dame. Ranked higher than us, of course.
Yeah.
Michigan's on the list at 12. USC's at 13. So, you know, I think in the end we're going to end up with six SEC teams headed into the playoffs. And the other 3 conferences will be fortunate that their conference champions get byes.
Right.
It's sort of my opinion. So for A&M, we played 3 games in the college football. We played 4 games.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Florida.
4 games in. Forgot about 4 Florida. Games in the college football season.
Right.
So A&M played their first game against Notre Dame. Extraordinarily defensive game. Both teams were like 13-13 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. A&M's defense fell apart. Notre Dame took advantage, scored 2 touchdowns in that 5 minutes.
We're better than Notre Dame.
Yeah, and won the game. Notre Dame then went on to lose to Northern Illinois. Us, on the other hand, we went on to play McNeese State. We beat McNeese State so soundly that we pulled our first string quarterback out when we were still in the first half. Reed, our second string quarterback, came in and played the rest of the game. It ended up like 50-3. I think we actually let them score.
Right.
At the end, you know, 7 points or 3 points, something like that. That was McNeese State. After that, we played Florida. So we went to the Swamp and played Florida. Florida is terrible this year. Just absolutely terrible.
Yep.
No idea how long that coach is going to last. Probably not the whole season. But it's looking like they're going to have
that once great program.
Yeah. So we took them down on the road pretty hard with, was it replaying? No, it was our main guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name? Wegman. Connor Wegman. So our primary quarterback is Connor Wegman. However, we have a backup quarterback, Reed, and Connor Wegman has an AC injury. Basically, the way those work, the more time you get off the field between games, the better off you will be the next game. So Wegman played the Florida game. He came off at a certain point. Reed came in, still did fine, did okay. He's a very run-happy quarterback. And by that, I mean he's always looking to run. The fortunate side of that ball is he's really good at it. So if the offensive line is and the rest of the team is blocking for him, he can get downfield pretty well just carrying the ball. The downside of that is because he's always looking to run, he doesn't necessarily let his receivers work their progressions enough to make the throw to him. So that's the problem on that side. We went into Bowling Green. They came, you know, to us, played that at home. That turned out to be a much more difficult game than anybody thought it was going to be. Bowling Green has an amazing tight end who is probably number one in the country. I think he is number one in the country. He's tough to block and he's tough to tackle. And that combined with their defense's ability to stop our running game and our offense's inability to make passes basically meant for a low-scoring game on our side. It was a win at the end. It was not a good win. It looked bad. I will say that Bowling Green almost beat Penn State, who are ranked higher than us, the week prior. So this could be Bowling Green is actually a good team this year. I don't know. But it really didn't feel good. It was a win. We'll take the win, right? We're 3-1 right now, which is, you know, we would rather be at 4-0, but we'll take 3-1. So in my mind, the next game we've got is Arkansas. That's a big game because Arkansas is not good, but neither, quote unquote, are we. So we're ranked. Arkansas is not. Arkansas is a decent running game. Arkansas's offensive coordinator is our offensive coordinator from last year. So we'll see how that plays out. So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks. Basically, the Arkansas-South Carolina game that occurred last week was a display of who could be worse. It was very much, even though we beat South Carolina, I want the record to show that we also suck. Kind of how that went down. Usual players are playing well. Alabama's killing it, despite the fact they don't have their former head coach anymore, Nick Saban. Georgia almost lost against Kentucky. It was literally 1 point. They won by 1 point, and it was down to the wire. That game was why Georgia is no longer ranked number one, and Texas is. Texas has been playing the most cupcake schedule you could possibly imagine for the best paid players in the league. Texas basically has the best team money could buy right now. I think we're all aware of that. In fact, some announcers have actually said that on TV. And that's where we're at with college ball. They're more or less paid professionals at this point. We've all kind of acknowledged it. They're not paid by the schools, but they're paid for name, image, and likeness. And more or less kind of the same thing that happened with politics after the creation of the PACs, the political action committees, has happened with the sports ball. So each school now has more or less a political action committee that all they do is donate money, or all the money that goes to it goes to name, image, and likeness contracts for the student athletes. So yes, that is the roundabout way that the boosters are now paying the players directly. So that's kind of college football in a nutshell. Ohio State is still, you know, kind of dominating the Big Ten like Ohio State does. Michigan went down to Texas pretty hard. I got to admit, there was a lot of confused feelings because I wanted to see Michigan go down hard. At the same time, I always love to see Texas lose.
Right.
So watching Texas take Michigan down really hard, it was like, So I don't know when Texas actually plays a real team. So yeah, that's kind of the gist of the college ball. What kind of commentary you got?
Maybe I was expecting a little too much out of our first year coach, but we should have beaten Notre Dame. And with Bowling Green State, we should have beaten them more than what we did. It just doesn't look as good as it has. I don't know. I mean, the offensive line seems sloppy. We still got quarterbacks that I think aren't 100% sure of themselves. Now, that being said, though, you look at what the NFL draft has produced and what's out there now, and there aren't a whole lot of superstars out there. So maybe there's just a lull in recruiting. But, you know, like you were saying, though, like Texas can buy the best players. Yeah, but you know what? We were doing that a lot, too. I mean, we were doing it before the NIL stuff, which means that it was illegal when we did it.
Well, so were they. Everybody was
right, kidding. Right. And that's just more of it. You know, we were like, oh, now NIL. Go. They were doing it. Just nobody was getting caught. I mean, so now you're just calling it out for what it is and saying it's okay. So, I mean, who we got this week?
Arkansas.
Yeah, that's going to be ugly.
Well, so
I mean, every year it's close, but I think every year we're better than what we are this year. So no, I
don't know. You know,
it's but it's the first year where it's not in Dallas, right?
No, this is the last year.
This is the last year. Okay,
the last year it's in Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I think that when it gets crazy is when we're good.
So. Yeah. So I don't know. Like I said, Arkansas has a pretty good running game. Does not have a very good passing game. They're not good. But it could be two not good teams beating each other up. I don't know. We don't know. This is kind of like Notre Dame to me was not a good test of what we were. We beat them as hard as I thought we needed to. And the Gators, I think that was true too, although we should have scored at least 6 more points for the Gators because of the 2 missed field goals.
Yeah.
So that score does not show necessarily how badly we beat them.
Well, in college, I'd like to see how kickers do. Because now kicking is going to be a thing in the NFL. So NFL teams are going to be looking for good kickers. Because kickers that can only kick it out of the end zone in the NFL, no one's going to take them anymore. One of the major good things from the Browns' last win against Jacksonville was the kicker had perfectly kicked the ball to the 1 yard line and then it bounced out of bounds. So it literally backed up the Jaguars to the 1 yard line. And on the next play, we got a safety.
Nice.
Stuff like that. You know, with the new kickoff rules and punting rules and things like that.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the kickoff rules have changed very dramatically in the NFL.
They have, but I haven't seen them play out that badly.
No, they're kind of, in my opinion, you're seeing field position that's almost the same as it was prior to this rule setup. I guess there's just less collision between the offense and the defense. Since they're only starting 10 yards apart.
But it seems like, you know, the teams aren't even trying to initiate a lot of those rules. Like, they're just kicking it through, go, fine, we'll take the 35 yards.
Yeah.
We'll just let them have the 35 yards, the extra 10 yards. Like, they don't care.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of seems like, you're seeing a lot of kickers trying to figure it out. And, like, one kickoff, they'll hit it, you know, great. And the next kickoff will be through the end zone. And they're just, it's tough. They're trying to hit a target on the field now that they've never had to do before. As place kickers, whereas punters have been doing that for a long time. So it's kind of a different ball game, at least in the kickoff department. So,
right.
But yeah, so college ball, it's been, we'll see.
We'll see. Nothing earth shattering, I think, has happened this year.
No.
Maybe a couple of upsets here and there, but, and as far as Pac-12 disappearing and basically joining the Big Ten, I don't think so far it's had the biggest impact that everyone's wanted. Because here's the thing. It's going to be a while before anybody thinks of those West Coast teams as part of the Big Ten. All they're going to, and if those West Coast teams do really well, what they're going to, in fact, see is those West Coast teams invading the Big Ten rather than the Big Ten swallowing up the Pac-12.
Right. Yeah. So well, and it's, what, it's 4 teams into the Big Ten and the other bunch more into the
Big 12.
Big 12 and the ACC. Yeah. I think the ACC got two teams. The Big 12 got four. The Big 10 got four. And then the two that were left over are playing with the Mountain West Conference.
Right. But, you know, I don't think anybody from the Big 12 or the ACC has really made any noise. In fact, the one team that everyone was hoping was going to make a big splash has fallen so flat on their face, it's hilarious.
Which one is that?
FSU.
Yeah.
Florida State. I mean, like people are like, oh, no, they lost their first game. Oh, that's bad. Oh, that's all right, though. They'll get them the next week, you know, and then they fall flat on their face again.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad to watch FSU fall from, you know, 13-0 season down to 13-0 season down to where they're at now, which is they'll be lucky to get a bowl game.
Yes, I think they're 0-3.
Yeah. Which does beg a lot of questions about what the ACC, who the ACC champion is going to be this year. You know, our typical default is to Clemson simply because they're the other good team from the ACC, right? There's always a lot of chatter about FSU and Clemson moving to the SEC. And I think now the pressure is on them even harder than it used to be with the inclusion of Oklahoma and Texas. I do see the potential of one day Ohio State and Michigan coming to the SEC. And I think the SEC would be open to that. I don't think those two teams want that yet. They're still in the position that Texas and Oklahoma were with their conference, which is they're kind of the big dogs and they can sort of write their own contracts and stuff. But as the Big 12 expanded and the SEC got even more money as time went on, I think Texas and Oklahoma wanted in on it. And so that, and that's the main reason they came over. It's all money. It's all money.
Oh, yeah. It's all money.
Yeah.
But, you know, for all the talk, you know, you were saying, oh, that amateurism's over. Well, that's the way it was going to go because that's what they wanted. They wanted more money. Well, guess what? If you want more money, you're going to, off the backs of kids, you're going to have to pay for it. And here's the other part, too. Now you conferences who thought you had these cushy jobs where you really didn't have to manage much, now you're going to have to manage things. Because you're going to have to manage fairness out of all of this. I mean, granted, some universities are going to do better than others, but there's going to have to be a degree of fairness in all of it.
Right. So, you know, there's always a question mark about like, Rutgers in the Big Ten and Vanderbilt in the SEC and how much Vandy is just trashed. You know, they had an amazing season last year, and I think they won four games.
Mizzou's done okay.
Yeah, no, Mizzou's actually back. They're doing pretty well.
But no one's really going to talk about them because they don't have the money to draw the attention.
That's true. Although Mizzou almost lost to Vanderbilt.
It was
almost as close as the Kentucky-Georgia game.
Actually, what you'll find out more that people talk about is how all these small colleges get paid to go to these other colleges. And if the small colleges win, then they got, you know, basically what you had is the big colleges getting paid to get beat.
Yeah.
So that's the only, like, real, you know, shining light for some of these schools is that they have the off chance, especially this year, it seems like, that a few of them had the off chance to make money and beat a bigger team.
Well, that happens every year. You get colleges get beat by the money. Like, we got beat by Appalachian State 2 years ago.
Right.
Auburn got beat by, it was like Western Alabama or something.
But the
like that.
Attention wasn't on the money then.
That's true.
Now all the attention, because that's the thing. Now all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but now the money's in the forefront because of all the moves. All these colleges think they're smart for moving into these conferences. And you can argue that, yes, it's smart because of the money. But now if you get beat, now you're going to see stories about how you paid big money for a small school to come in there and kick your ass.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of landscape. It's ever changing. Yeah,
and I don't hear a lot of it anymore. But you know, when I hear the argument, oh, you know, amateurism, you know, was great about college football. I go, well, don't cut yourselves to blame. You got hyped up, and you wanted these teams on TV, and you want these universities wanted to make money off these kids, and your chickens have come home to roost.
All right, so. Where do we want to go now? Stick with football or move on?
Stick with football because I want to end on a happy note for me.
Yeah, for you at least. Moving on to the NFL, we're in the going into the fourth week of NFL play. We've had three actual games. There were the preseason games beforehand. No one cares about those. that's a look at your second and third string. So, Cowboys are 1-3. They won their first game against the Browns.
mildly.
Yeah, pretty handily, to be honest. The defense just tore up Cleveland's offense, and our offense was looking pretty good. So
I didn't watch much of it, but I'm pretty sure most of the Browns players left with actual Brown stains on their pants.
Yeah. There was a lot of booing going on.
Yes.
At the end of the game.
Yes. And you know what, though? Texas A&M defensive tackle, Myles Garrett, sat at a press conference. He goes, "These fans pay for us to come out there and win. And when we don't, they boo us." And they have that right. You know, we did not win. We did not perform even close to good.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. It was just awful. And you could say it's because of these new preseason rules and this, that, and the other thing. The team just wasn't ready. You could see it. And then it's because they didn't play any of their starters. And every year I'm getting so sick and tired of the Browns every year going, "Oh, we got all these guys out on injury." Then fix whoever's in your medical team because they're doing a terrible job.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting tired of injuries being the excuse because, I mean, either you find a better medical team or you really start stacking your team with guys that can at least show up.
Right. So if you know you're going to be plagued with injuries, you start building your teams just a little deeper to avoid the injuries, you know, destroying your team.
Never mind that we have the biggest... I don't know what you want to call it in Deshaun Watson. The guy's not good. Okay, maybe he's good. He just has not been showing it. And for the biggest noose around our neck that there is, I mean, because he's got guaranteed money, so no matter what, he's getting paid.
Yeah. I remember hearing the stat. He's only played, I want to say it's up to 16 now. 16 NFL games.
Right.
In three years. Think about that. How many games are in a season?
Right. Because first year was suspensions.
Yeah.
Second Texans. Year was injuries.
Yep.
Third year, we're now into what, year three, right?
Yep.
So year three, and he's just awful.
Yeah. So that was the one highlight from the Cowboys. I really thought that game against the Browns was going to be the Myles Garrett versus Micah Parsons show.
Everyone did.
And it's kind of started out like that, but by the end of the first quarter, it was apparent that Dak was able to do more than Watson could.
Just do whatever.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of ways, it was Parsons trying to prove himself.
Well, because like 2 hours before the game start, Dak Prescott got a new deal.
Yes.
And then what did he do? He went out there and earned that paycheck.
Yeah. That game.
That was just Jerry Jones trying to tell Jimmy Haslam how to run a team.
Yeah. Sadly, the next two games we play at home, played against the Saints. And to put it in sports ball terms, the Saints look like the real deal this year. You know, they got Carr out of, I think he was playing for the Raiders.
That's the NFC South, right?
I want to say so.
How funny would it be if the NFC South turned out to be the most interesting division in football this year?
I have a feeling they're going to be.
Right? Because all of a sudden now in Tampa Bay, once again,
right.
Baker Mayfield's just, you know.
Just leading the charge.
He's just leading the charge. You know, and as a Browns fan, you're looking at that going, you know, we used to have that guy.
Yeah, he used to be ours, and he was happy to be here.
Right! And you ran him out of town, because you said he wasn't any good.
Yeah.
And then what does he do? He comes in behind Tom effing Brady, and he starts winning games.
Yeah, takes him to the, just like he did with the Browns, takes him to the playoffs. But yeah, the Saints kind of just ran, the Saints ran all over Dallas. Also, threw the ball all over Dallas. There was basically nothing we could do to stop them, and they were very efficient at shutting our offense down. Move on to the Ravens game. It's basically the same story. We were literally unable to stop them from running the ball all over us between Lamar Jackson, who is a beast on the field, and their other running backs until the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, in which case we destroyed them on defense, and we stormed back on offense, managed to kick an onside kick with 4 minutes left and recovered it.
Wow.
Scored, like we double scored,
uh-huh.
And then we scored again, like we stopped them, scored again, and we were 3 points away. We could have had it if we had it, and there was some stuff, they went for two twice, and they got it neither time. So that was 4 points left on the table. That could have been 2 points. It still wouldn't have given us enough points. But it literally went down to the last two plays. Like, they basically stopped us going down to.
Well, you know, that's nothing to be ashamed of because the Ravens are a tough team in regular season. They just are.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, even you know, for Browns, you know, we those are the two games as a Browns fan. You're just like, let's just get through it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if we can get out of it without having half our team destroyed, we'll be happy. We eked by last year with a win, but you know, in regular season, they're a tough team. So if you can get to them in the playoffs, then because that's been always their hurdle. It's the playoffs.
I know they made it. They made it to the Super Bowl at least once,
right?
It's the Saints, if I remember correctly.
And that's the part that always gets me though when they talk about how great Lamar Jackson is. I'm like, yes, but he hasn't won anything,
right? Right.
You know, it's just the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's gotten MVP like 2 years in a row. Great, he hasn't won anything.
Yeah. So, and just so you're aware, Aaron Rodgers is playing this year. Aaron Rodgers is playing.
He made it past week one.
Yeah, he does not have an Achilles injury. He's actually playing for a different green team, the New York Jets. And he looks like flipping Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
So it's hard. I know.
May have to cut back on my Aaron Rodgers bad talking.
Yeah. Well, like Patrick Mahomes is an amazing quarterback.
Uh-huh.
But he also seems like a decent human being.
Right. And that's always what made people mad about Tom Brady. He was both. He was really good. And he was really nice. You're like, you're a motherfucker. Sorry.
Yeah. So, on the other hand, Aaron Rodgers, he's a real sob.
sure is.
You know, and we really saw that come out over the last 3 years. That being said, he's a good quarterback. So, we'll see what he can do with the New York Jets. So, yeah, Dallas is not going great. We've got the Giants coming up on Thursday. That, to me, is going to be a real note on how good we actually are. The Giants are not great.
Well, as we were talking, the Browns had week one at home against Dallas, and that was, you know, we already talked about that. Week two, we went down to Jacksonville, and we handled Jacksonville pretty darn good. Our defense really showed up. Like I said, we had that safety at the end of the towards the end of the game, and we put them away pretty good. So you felt like progress was being made. And then you come back home to face the New York effing Giants, one of the agreed upon by most people to be one of the worst teams in the NFL right now, and they manhandled us. 25-13 was the end of that score. New York Giants
15
25-15
21 sorry 21-15
oh 21-15
yeah,
still,
yeah,
they still manhandled us. We were like a touchdown point favorites, 7-point favorites, and we lost like that. At home, again, at home. And to lose at home to a fan base like ours is a real kick in the nads because everybody recognizes the Browns fan base more than they like, you know, if there's anything, people may not like the Browns, but they feel pity for the Browns fans because they're still loyal. They still show up to the Muni lot. They still sell out every home game.
Yep.
They still show up every year. Even after the 0-16 year, they still showed up. And these guys fail at home in front of their home fans. And it's just heartbreaking. It's hard to watch. It's hard to go every Sunday and go, I'm going to go watch my team. Because you're like, I don't know if I want to be that sad or angry.
Yeah. Well, and so the Giants weren't the only terrible NFC East team that came out. The Washington
Commanders
football team just dominated whoever they played on Monday. I can't remember who they played. They played a Monday Night Football. The Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
Beat the Bengals.
Well,
38-33.
So if there's any silver lining to the Browns situation right now, it's that the Cincinnati Bengals are 0-3.
Yeah.
So really,
the only team that's doing about like everybody sort of expected them to do is the Kansas City Chiefs. They're still great.
They're right now, they're the new New England Patriots. Mahomes is what he is. But see, the catch there is, and he's really got to rein in on this because he's been pretty vocal. But when they lose, they really got to rein in on their complaining.
Yeah.
Because they complain about the refs or they complain about this, that, and the other thing. And you're like, you're just winners that are sore that you lost one out of however many. You're going to be the future Super Bowl champions and you're complaining about a single loss.
Yeah. And they have the Swift factor.
Right. And you know what, though? Honestly, because they're winning, everybody loves it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
No, I just find it funny. I find it funny how much money she's brought into the NFL by showing up to games on a regular basis.
And you know what? You know where Travis Kelce comes from? Cleveland Heights. The Kelce brothers come from Cleveland effing Heights.
And they played for the Eagles and the Chiefs. Wow. Oh, man. That's a little bit of a knife in the ribs there.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, at least it wasn't Pittsburgh.
But you know what? Every Cleveland fan is just smiling at him going, man, a guy from Cleveland got Taylor Swift.
Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's everybody in Ohio.
Yeah, right? Certainly, you know, even Cincinnati fans, because, you know, they looked over at Joe Burrow and said, that Eminem looking them effer.
But he's stylish. He's so stylish.
Yeah, he's so stylish that he's 0-3.
Yeah.
He's one game worse than the Browns. Just to clarify, I still love my team.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm going to still root for Dallas. No matter how
but you know what?
Not all in
you, you say that, but you've at least experienced in your lifetime a Super Bowl.
It's true.
Not even my grandparents have seen Cleveland in a Super Bowl.
And Cleveland's never been in a Super Bowl.
That's my point.
They won the national championships back before there were Super Bowls.
Yes, but still.
Yeah,
nobody. I'm pretty sure it may have, in fact, been before my grandparents were alive.
Yeah, possibly.
So.
Well, speaking as a Rangers fan, it took us 50 years, but we did it. I think it was our 51st season. We finally won a World Series. And then...
we came back to Earth.
Yeah, then we came right back to Earth. Now, I will say, it's been a heck of a yo-yo ride. So we went from literally the worst team in the league to next year winning the World Series to next year we'll be lucky if we go for 500. Which 500 means is a percentage thing, so 0.500, which means we won half of our games.
Yeah, won as many as you lost.
Yeah, so we'll be lucky if we do that. I don't think we will. I think we'll be like, you know, 0.48 something,
like one or two games out.
Yeah, which, you know, is average.
Hey, it's, you know what? It could be worse.
Yeah,
you could be the Chicago White Sox.
It's true.
With 130 losses this year.
Oh.
130 out of 162 games.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I don't know how you get up and go to the ballpark.
No, I don't. If you're on that team, you've only won 32 games.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been playing for 6 months and you won 32 games.
I'm just going to double check my math here.
But just.
Okay, 120, but still.
Yeah.
You've won 37 games so far and lost 120. So.
Oh, that's got to be rough for.
That's five more games.
Yeah. I would say that it's rough for Chicago fans, but it's, I mean, that's just the existence of being a Chicago sports fan of any variety. You had your time in the 90s with the Bulls, and that's been it.
Their team is so bad right now, they fired their manager. You know who they got to replace him?
A
guy named Grady Sizemore. And if you're not familiar, Grady Sizemore started his rookie season probably 10 years ago, maybe 15, with the Cleveland Indians. He was going to be a superstar for them in the outfield. He was a big-time hitter, Grady Sizemore. He, in fact, had a fan base of ladies. They were called Grady's Ladies. And he was just injury-prone, and he fizzled out of our system, and now he's the manager for the rest of this season for Chicago White Sox.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the Chicago White Sox, the Red Sox, it's the Boston Red Sox, but the White Sox. The Bears, the Bulls, none of their sports teams are good.
Or the Blackhawks.
The Cubs. The Cubs aren't good either.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they have two baseball teams.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Cubs, the Bears. So, yeah. If you're a Chicago sports fan, we're sorry.
Hey, though the Cubs are second in their division. Of course, they're 9.5 games back.
Yeah. I don't think they'll make... Well, because only two of the teams make...
So you have your three divisionals and then your two wild cards.
Two wild cards, right? So.
No, three wild cards.
Is it three wild cards now?
Okay. Yeah, three wild cards.
Yeah. So I'll be rooting for the Astros in the postseason and the Guardians.
Yep. The Guardians made it.
Woo! Not only they made it, they were the top.
Yep.
So they were where the Orioles were last year.
Well, we're the second seed this year. We're behind the Yankees by a game or two. But I will say this. I looked it up because my stepdad had mentioned it to me, and I went and looked at the record. The last time they were not in first place this season was April 13th.
Oh, wow.
So for those of you that may not know baseball, that's like second, third week
yeah,
of baseball.
You're talking really early in the season.
And we were only a half game out of first.
Yeah.
So we've been in first place the entire season. And we were the first in the AL to clinch our division. We did it while having a beat up starting rotation, pitching rotation. Our bullpens really had to carry the weight of the team for a while. We've gone hot and cold with the bats and some of our injuries, so I'm curious to see how we do this postseason. I'm hoping our bats can fly again, because I think this could be a really good chance, as most postseason. Yeah, every postseason, this is a good chance for anybody to win, but if we can get past the Yankees, whew. Well, okay, so if we get past the Yankees, then we have to get past the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Without question, the Dodgers are the team to beat this year because they have Shohei Ohtani. And like, if you don't watch baseball, go watch baseball. Go watch Dodger baseball, because that is a what they call a generational player, and that's without question. He's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. He is going to be talked about like Hank Aaron and Luke Gehrig and all those guys, because this guy is just everything, all the hype that's been built up for him.
Yeah.
Unlike Bryce Harper or Mike Trout. Those guys haven't produced. He produces. He made a record this year.
Oh, yeah?
50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a single season. Huh. That's a record. Yeah. He said it.
And he's a pitcher, folks. That's his position.
Well, that's his position when they let him.
Right.
The Dodgers are only letting him DH. He wants to pitch, and the Dodgers are like, we'll think about it. But we don't want you to get hurt, you know, by throwing your arm out. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll think about it.
So the Dodgers are in the American League, right?
No, they're in the National.
They're in the National. So he could hit and pitch.
I think they got rid of the pitching or the hitting pitcher.
Really?
I think everybody now's got the designated hitter.
Huh. Okay. I did not realize that. Oh, okay. If he's designated hitter, then he's not pitching.
Right.
Huh. Interesting. I just kind of figured it would end up going the other way. But maybe it's just player protection at this point.
Right, and mostly because that's the thing that baseball is really driving is the home runs and the runs in general. So that's more exciting with designated hitters.
Yes.
Postseason starts soon. I got my first postseason tickets. when I get back home after this little trip, I'll try to buy another set of game tickets if I can for the divisional series so far. Which has been great, because Casey's really excited about going.
Cool.
Yeah, she actually wants to go. She's all excited about the hype. We got our t-shirts. I got two t-shirts, because it happened on two different days. First one says October Ready, the one we clinched the playoff berth, and then the other one's the AL Central Division Champions.
Nice. Oh. Very nice. I probably went to somewhere in the range of 50 games this year. That was a lot. I've never been to that many sporting events in a single year of my life. You know, I noticed a lot of things. We got to know several of the personnel at the stand or at the ballpark. One of the ladies who mans the stairs, her face would like light up when she saw my daughter. we got to know some of the people who work at the Rangers Foundation, because we're always in the little store because Maria wants to do the spin to win thing they have.
Oh yeah,
$5 for a spin, which honestly is a pretty good deal, especially if you land on like the hat or. Water bottle. I mean, it's $5. She had a lot of fun at games. Granted, part of that was due to she was allowed to play her Switch while the other team was batting. She got Slurpees and pizza, and you know, paying $10 for a 7-Eleven pizza.
Well, I tell you what, she'll get into sports when she's older. I know that's how it happened for me.
Yeah,
when I was in elementary school and junior high, and parents would take us out to the minor league baseball team, the Manatees. Half the time we weren't watching the game. We were waiting behind the stands, waiting for foul balls.
Yep. Yep.
That's how I remembered, and that's how I got into baseball. I'm like, yeah, this was always fun.
Yep. No, don't think I'm going to do that again. Actually, I know I'm not going to do that again.
You got to live closer, and you got to have the time.
Yeah. And that's a big problem. It's a good hour drive for me. 2 hours of driving, 2 hours of game, or that many times. And some of my friends were joking that I was... you know, paying rent to the Rangers to live there.
Right. Yeah, I was a quarter season ticket holder for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and it was just hard to find the time after work and this, that, and the other thing. But we enjoyed it because the season ticket guys were always, like, the people in the front office were always giving stuff out, or, you know, like, if you tell them it was a birthday or something, they, you know, they'd find something to give you. And so it's always great if you're close by and you have the time.
Yeah. That's right. I really
were an hour away.
Figure out some way for the east side of Dallas to get some sport teams, since so many of them are on the west or north side. We're going to get an IKEA, so maybe we can get a minor league team.
Well, what's the funny part with Columbus is that the actual professional teams all along the same road.
Yeah.
Columbus Crew on one end, and then the middle's Huntington Bank Ballpark, which is where the AAA team for the Guardians is, the Columbus Clippers. And then down from them is the Blue Jackets.
Yeah. Well, that's how, in Arlington, that's how it is with the Rangers and the Cowboys. They play basically down the two, three blocks from each other.
Yeah.
Which it blows my mind that they don't use Cowboys parking lots for Rangers games, and they don't use Rangers parking lots for Cowboys games. I just want to shoot some people. I'm like,
I guarantee you that's Jerry.
Yeah.
He probably wants a larger piece of the proceeds than they're willing to pay him.
Yeah, that probably is true.
Crazy bastard.
Yeah. So, baseball is headed into the postseason, and hockey is just starting.
Starting up?
Yeah.
Actually, thank you, because there is a story I want to talk about out of hockey. Unfortunately, it's a sad one. I don't know if you've heard about it. Hockey was just about to start up, but a couple of weeks ago, the Columbus Blue Jackets lost a player, Johnny Gaudreau. And I say the Jackets lost it, but really hockey lost it, because Johnny Gaudreau's name was Johnny Hockey.
Yeah.
Before he came to Columbus, he was with the Calgary Flames, and they loved him there. Every time he comes back there, they love him, they praise him. Doesn't matter who he's playing for, they root for him. Unfortunately, him and his brother both were killed. They were hit by a drunk driver while they were riding bikes along the road in New Jersey. They were there for their sister's wedding.
Oh, wow.
Drunk driver was trying to pass on the right for one guy who was in the left lane trying to avoid the Gaudreau brothers. And he hit the drunk driver hit the Gaudreau brothers, and they both died.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a rough season for the Blue Jackets, mentally, emotionally, and talent-wise.
Yeah.
Because he was a big part of their team. But it's been nice to see the outpouring when it happened. Teams across not just hockey, but soccer, football, they all took a moment for Johnny Gaudreau and his brother. So we'll see how they honor him this year. Blue Jackets, they got a new general manager, and they got a new head coach. They got one or two new players. Sadly, one of the players they picked up, they brought in because he wanted to play with Johnny Gaudreau. They were good friends. But as I'm talking today, I think the second or third preseason game is being played.
Third.
And we'll see how they do. We just don't want them to be last again this year. They've been like one of the bottom four teams for the last 2 or 3 years. So we're just hoping to get out of the basement this year.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got three more, so not counting today, but three more preseason games before we get to regular season hockey.
Our season starts October 10th.
Yeah. So Stars will probably be good. How good, we'll see. You know, last year they made a run at the Stanley Cup. Got beaten out by the Oilers, and the Oilers ended up getting beaten out by the Florida Panthers, which was sad, in my opinion. I thought the Oilers, you know, they should have won that. But it went to seven games. I'll tell you what,
every time a Canadian team comes to the Stanley, everyone's rooting for the Canadian team. Because it's just like, you guys, just it's your sport, man. You got to win it one day.
And you keep losing it to, like, Texans and Floridians. What is wrong with you? How can you get beaten out by these southern U.S. teams where it's not even iced over?
Florida, Colorado, and Vegas were the last three, I believe.
Right, in Vegas. I mean, heck, it ices over every once in a while in Texas, but not in Vegas. It's a flipping desert. What is wrong with you? Come on, Canada. Reclaim your birthright.
Do better, Canada.
Do better, Canada.
MLS Soccer grew, they're ranked third, but they have a new trophy this year, and they're ranked third behind Inner City Miami, which has Lionel Messi. Yep. And Cincinnati, I thought. So we're looking forward to seeing how that plays out this year, because the Crew, they're a good team. They're a really good soccer team. So,
Inter Miami, then Cincinnati, and then Columbus.
Yep.
And then FC Dallas is 10th, which is not bad.
I'll tell you what, though. So, like, in Premier League, they play, what, once a week?
Yeah.
It's either Wednesday or Saturday. Columbus Crew have been playing two games a week for probably the last 3 months. And that's a lot for soccer players. So they're a tough team to keep playing and winning most of their games. I think they've lost one in like the last 10.
Yeah.
If you're not into soccer, get into soccer. It's a good sport to watch, and MLS is a bit more exciting than a lot of other leagues.
Yeah. Just to touch on it, WNBA is headed into the playoffs right now. The reason I bring them up, I know we don't typically watch them, but with the advent of Caitlin Clark coming into the sport. First off, she's won like the largest contract of any player in the WNBA. And because she's white, she's been hazed quite a bit by
the. Is that what she's been hazed for? I thought it was because of the contract.
Well, yes, because she's. I'll put it this way: most of the folks hazing her are not white. Whatever you want to say it on that one. A lot of the words being spoken seem to be racially motivated. Either way. She is amazing to watch. She is so amazing to watch that when the Fever come to town, and that's who she plays for, typically the local WNBA team will play in a larger arena. So when they went to Atlanta, they moved from their normal arena, which I think held like 7,000, to the one where Atlanta's men's basketball team plays, or NBA team plays.
The Hawks.
Yeah, and that holds 19,000, and they sold it out. It has resulted in WNBA play being on regular ESPN channels, not just ESPN 8, the Ocho. So I actually got to see the Wings play because of that, which is the Dallas WNBA team, because they were playing them. Now, granted, they lost. They actually put up a good fight. But
Dallas did, or?
Dallas did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Fever beat them. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's no way.
So you say she's deserving of?
Yeah, she is. She's a phenomenal player. Now, you know, you make all the commentary you want about, like, would she stand up against men? And the answer is no, she would not. We've seen this in every sport. Literally every sport. You take like a mid-tier non-professional men's team and you play it against the top-level women's team and they beat them. There are differences between top athlete men and women. That's fine. She is a phenomenal player in the league she's in. And that's what I will say on that one. So if you've ever been interested in WNBA, this is like the best it's ever been. Like, this is the most coverage you're ever going to find on TV for them, the most likely time you'll be able to get into in a more interesting arena watching them play, and probably the most interesting play, because the reality of it is when you have a player like that, it usually causes other players to play better, to try and play up to that level of competition. So yeah, it's just an interesting time.
Have we talked much about the Olympics?
No, we haven't talked about it at all. Yeah.
So
last sports ball episode, we were pre-Olympics.
Okay. Well, then we should probably take a few minutes to talk about that, because I know you're all about the summer.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're at like an hour, so...
Oh, okay.
We could...
Well, you know what? We'll find time on the boat.
Yeah, we'll do it on the boat. We'll talk about the Olympics. I'll pull up some memories. I'll relive my anger at NBC for yet again not showing the America versus America fencing match for the gold. Two Olympics running. They did not show that on prime time.
Possible that the French were outraged by that?
I have to assume they were, but I'm outraged as an American. I mean, literally, it's the gold, silver. No,
I'm just saying that they were outraged that the gold match was two Americans.
Yeah, well...
Because, I mean, I mean, fencing is a pretty French sport.
It is. But this is the second Olympics in a row. So they had 4 years to get their act together. They knew we were coming.
Well, they always know they're coming, right? They knew it the last time,
too. It's America. Of course they're going to have somebody decent.
And I mean, well, I don't know. Because, I mean, you know, Americans were not known for our finesse, per se.
It's true. But the other big story in my mind is suddenly the Chinese having a competitive swimming team out of flipping nowhere. They're winning medals now.
Yeah, but okay.
I'm not talking about diving. I'm talking about swimming.
Right. But I could go into we could have a good conversation about that. But
yeah. So yeah.
That's a quick preview, folks. We'll have some things to say about the Olympics.
Yeah, that'll wrap it up for the sports ball, non-Olympic sports ball. I think this is the second time in 2024 we've recorded, and we'll do the Olympics next. So. Thanks for listening in. Remember, we've got a website, patentthefatman.com, where you can click on that Patreon button and head to Patreon and become a patron. And for only $1 a month, you get access to all our special stuff. And you know what? Maybe we'll make the Olympics coverage a patron-only thing. I don't know. For wonderful patrons who make this possible, as always, the money you give us goes pretty much directly to our editor. We are not yet self-sustaining, so if you've ever thought about maybe throwing $1 a month our way, we would really appreciate it to help us make this podcast and sustain it into the future. We are almost at 100 episodes, folks. This will put us close to that. We've been running for 5 years now, and we do appreciate everyone who's stuck with
us. And I'll just say, if we ever get to the point where we're self-sustaining, that'll definitely put more of the guilt and the burden on us to produce more, just because now we're getting paid to do it.
Yes. Go ahead and click on that Patreon button and become a patron. $1 a month. You won't even notice it. We're also on Facebook, Pat the Fat Man, and X.
X, and on Instagram, X,
it's Fatman
1238.
Yeah, I want to say that's correct.
And Instagram, Pat the Fat Man.
Remember to share us, like us, subscribe to the podcast, rate it. Highly rate it. We would appreciate it because it helps the algorithm tell other people about the show and tell other people about the show. Word of mouth is one of the main ways podcasts spread. So tell your family, friends, and anyone you meet on the street. And I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Go Guards! Sorry about that. Sorry.